ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
28 is it?
Yes,
Canto 1, Chapter 8, prayers by Queen Kunti. My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissension between living beings are due to social intercourse. Magyanatamirandasya janaganasalakayam chaksusmilitam jena tasmai shri garave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Vayam Upakaramaya Dadati Svaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuni Chananda Shri Raita Garadha Shri Vasari Gora Bhakti Vindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here's a nice explanation of how the living entity is enjoying or suffering due to his own activities. The Lord is neutral. He's awarding everyone. Therefore, we can immediately give up envy. If we really understand this point, then we don't have to be envious of anyone because everyone is getting exactly what they deserve, exactly what they desire. And so we can deal with everyone in a joyful way, or in a cordial means friendly, in a friendly way, because everyone is enjoying or suffering according to their karma. So why do we have to, why can't we also be like the Lord, neutral, and not, you can say, pick quarrels, or become, make someone an enemy. We should see that everyone is acting according to their own nature. Therefore, there's a verse like that in the Bhagavatam that we shouldn't praise anyone or blame anyone or criticize anyone because everyone is just acting according to their nature. So what is the credit there? We're having this discussion. The tendency is, though, to see that someone is demon, someone is devotee. But even in one sense, that everyone is just what they are. They're not, you can say, responsible. Of course, when we come to human form of life, then there is a sense of responsibility. But from the, you can see from the Uttama Adhikari platform how it's possible for them not to become critical even of the demons. The demons are only acting according to their nature, and they're going to be punished. So why do we have to become disturbed by them? We can just be neutral, like Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a perfect example of the Uttama Adhikari. Even he was friendly with Kamsa. He didn't have any. Kamsa didn't feel that this person is trying to hurt me or is trying to punish me or something, because that wasn't Narada Muni's mood. He was saying, oh, Kamsa is also acting according to his nature. What was the use of blaming him? However, we're not at that stage, so we do have to make some discrimination, at least for associating. We can't imitate Narada Muni and associate with Kamsa class of people, because we'll be affected by them. We'll become like them. But Narada Muni was so advanced that he couldn't be like that. He didn't. He wasn't able, to be influenced by that mood. But we're not so advanced. Therefore, we should be careful to associate with the devotees, and even amongst the devotees, those who are in the mode of goodness, they're a better association. Those in the mode of passion, mode of ignorance, we may want to avoid, depending, of course, on our position. Just like if somebody's in the mode of ignorance, then sometimes passion is required. To come up to passion is good for them. The Prabhupada would deal with us in that way. If he saw we were in ignorance, then he would be compassionate. But it was because his passion was a transcendental passion. There was no false ego involved. There was no sense that I'm better than you. So I'm correcting you because I'm better than you. No. But he was exhibiting passion to bring us out of ignorance. This is the general system. We want to get out of ignorance, then passion is the next stage. So if somebody expert can enthuse us with a little passion, then that'll be good for us. And then from passion we want to come to goodness. If Prabhupada saw that somebody was too passionate, then he would calm them down. He would say, be cool-headed. Don't do things without becoming thoughtful. But we want to be very sober. He would stress on that point. And if somebody was too passionate, like I remember I was there in a room once when Guru Kripa was too passionate, Prabhupada said, when your mind is so agitated like that, then there's no way that Krishna can be in your mind. So he was bringing him to goodness. He was trying to, tell him to be cool-headed, not to be so agitated. So there's always some, mixture. We all have different mixtures. So that's the science then, is how to help ourselves and help others to rise higher. Mm. So that's not always easy. Because of false ego, we may, take pleasure out of feeling superior to others and enjoy our making them suffer or something like that. But that's called malice. So we saw in Prabhupada there was no malice. He was free from that satisfaction that one may get from feeling better than others. The one-upmanship, we call it. There's a game called one-upmanship. We always want to feel that we're better than the next person. Mm. Of course, there is a sense that someone is better and someone is less good. I mean, in other words, we're not Mayavadis that everyone is equal. But that, requires that the person who is superior has to deal with the less advanced person with compassion. And not be envious of them. That is also possible. We can be envious of someone who is less advanced than us. Even a child. A child is not advanced. But the adults can be envious of them because they see that they're innocent and that they're pure and that they have some mode of goodness. And so they torture them in some way just to feel superior to them. Because they have superior position as an adult. So, that we should be alert for. But at the other side, sometimes we do have to correct somebody. So, this is the dilemma of preaching. Therefore, somebody like Gorkhashodas Babaji, he doesn't want to get involved, because as this mentions here, all this comes from social intercourse. Social intercourse means that dealings between people. These dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. So if we don't have any social intercourse, then we won't have any dissension. Therefore, Gokishore's Babaji, he didn't have any social intercourse. He would avoid everybody. He wouldn't have any social dealings with them. If they started to, have social dealings with him, then he would somehow exclude them. Like he told that one couple, if you want to help me, you can pass stool and just leave it there. That way the people won't come to disturb me. He was meaning that you're disturbing me. Please go away. That was the purport of what he was saying. So that makes it simple. We just live by ourselves, chant Hare Krishna. No social intercourse. Sometimes we may beg something to eat. So that was often the case with the Vaishnavas. That's how they live, because the social intercourse always creates some politics, some envy, some, you have to hear others criticize others when you're living with people, when you're dealing with them, there'll always be some dissension. This word is used. Dissension means criticism and quarrel. So, what to do? Well, we are a preaching mission, so we have to have social intercourse. Therefore, we have to try our best to be equal to everyone, like Krishna is. And not to be envious. At the same time, not to be impersonal, and to preach when the opportunity is there. If we don't preach to each other, then who will we preach to? We should be straightforward, in other words. We shouldn't be. Sometimes the tendency is there. Instead of preaching to each other, we talk about each other behind their back. So that's not good. Better to be straightforward. and tell somebody directly. But that also we have to do in a way that's not counterproductive. If we tell somebody directly something, and the result is that they become less Krishna conscious, then what is the use of our preaching? So all these things we have to learn. We have to improve ourselves, that nobody is so perfect in this regard, and we can all become better in our social intercourse, because we can't just avoid. Prabhupada has given us this society. We have to live within it. And so, therefore, the first consideration should be we should appreciate the qualities, the other devotees' qualities. That should be our first consideration. But still, we may have to keep some distance or avoid those who are not advanced devotees, who will disturb our sadhana. This is mentioned also in the purports there. The separatist, one who thinks he's the best devotee, and so on. This kind of association is not so good for us. So that will be our, you can say, our choice. Who we associate with? We should associate with those who can help us in our Krishna consciousness. Okay? Questions?
Bodhisattva is independent, like has some authority, like temple president or temple commander, and these dealings are not so good, but but temple president or temple commander is not inspired to just and someone wants to change association, or just he can see that this association doesn't give to him inspiration or whatever.
Yeah, then there's a way to do that. I mean, one of the main tenets of our practice is to be tolerant. But when opportunity is there, then we can request to for change. Prabhupada didn't force anybody if they felt that. So, let's say if our temple commander is disturbing us, we can go to the temple president and say, "Can I work for you directly? The temple commander is disturbing me. This is my schedule. This is what I like to do. Can I report to you instead of going through the temple commander?" He may agree. At least you make a point to him. Then, you know, if it goes on, you come back and 1 month later and say, "I'm still being disturbed by the temple commander. Maybe I would be better as a temple commander." And that's another alternative we can say. This person is not, others are also complaining about him. Let me be the temple commander. That's also a legitimate way to do it. And then, you know, if you still don't get any recourse there, then you may have to go to the GBC and say, "I'm not happy in this temple. I've been trying to work with the temple commander, temple president, but they don't understand me. I think I'd be more valuable to Prabhupada's mission if I was at this temple." But we have to be patient, you know, and just try to see the good in the other persons. But if it becomes intolerable, then we can we have some recourse, like I just mentioned. Another side is that I know from my own experience, some of the devotees that I was most disturbed by, living with and so on, but they were that happened, you know, at the end, because I was like obliged to live with them. I found that I learned more from them than I did from other devotees who I was more neutral with. I mean, sometimes you learn from the opposites. You know, you can learn from the negative. You see that this person is like this. Maybe I'm also a little bit like that, but now I see, because that person has the same quality that I have, but in a more heightened degree, then I see, well, that's not such a good quality. And so I correct myself when I see I'm becoming like that person. Oftentimes, we don't like somebody because they're like us. And then, you know, we fight with them. Like I was thinking one person, Narayan, he was so passionate, so... You know, a little bit like Uday, only even more fanatical in some ways. But we had to live with it, you know. It was like, he was in the temple, we were in the temple. A lot of, sometimes we talk about it, you know, we're becoming Narayan conscious instead of Krishna conscious. So he was a disturbance there. And, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would even send him to another temple. And so in the course of his devotional service, he was creating disturbances wherever he went. But when I look back on it, I remember thinking, you know, some of the things he said with such conviction that he would increase your faith. He was a little fanatical. Just like Uday is a little fanatical, but you see, you can learn from him how to be more enthusiastic, say. You know, when I'm looking back on the last few days, I was thinking, if I had to do it again, I think I would gear myself up more to, you know, to stay up that night, that last night, and to, you know, become a little passionate and to, instead of trying to rest. I couldn't rest much anymore. So, that's the other side. If we just, you know, like I remember Hari Griva came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to leave this temple. There's one devotee here I don't like. And, you know, it's too much struggle for me to stay, something like that. And Prabhupada said, wherever you go, you're going to find somebody you don't like. That's also there. So, we may leave Krishna consciousness. We don't know how to be tolerant. And that's what most devotees do. They, you know, they leave in one way or another. They become grihasthas and they leave in that sense. Because the temple is too difficult for them, you know. Temple life is not easy, brahmachari life. For most people, you know, they leave the temple. The ones that don't, that stay in the temple the whole lifetime, they have to be, you know, qualified. It's a more intense program. There's always some authority. If you have your own apartment or your own house, and, you know, nobody's coming and telling Uday what he has to do, or Pagosh. You see, the result is then they become more independent, and, you know, just like you said, they won't be corrected. It'll be very difficult to correct. Even they're wrong, they can't be corrected because they are independent. They have no authority.